Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for day one of our technology lesson this month. I'm your teacher, Josh, and I'm excited about our discussion over the next 3 days about the future of automobiles. And hopefully you have your May magazine open to pages 16, 17, and 18. And I'm joined in the studio today on the 7th of May by Ellen and Brian. Hi, panelists.
Hello, Josh.
Are you ready for the car of the future, Brian?
I think I am, if it helps me get to work on time.
Well, we have been talking about, you know, futuristic transportation. It feels like our entire lives, doesn't it?
It's been 20 years at least, right?
We thought we'd have flying cars by 2015, but we still have all four wheels on the ground. But Ellen, maybe car of the future will drive itself.
Right, and we're getting there. We're taking baby steps, and today we're going to talk about Google's endeavor into trying to make that come true.
That's right, not a car company today, Brian.
Yeah, a tech company. So they've got the tech side of it mastered, and it's interesting to see how they do things compared to maybe what a car manufacturer would do.
And a company like Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, they're not just technology companies anymore, right?
Right. They've kind of dipped their toes into all different types of areas. So today they're just trying to see if they can master this driverless car.
Right. Facebook bought that virtual headset company. They're looking at virtual reality. Microsoft bought Skype. Lots of ways to divest from their traditional business. And of course, Google's traditional business is still almost exclusively their revenue comes from search marketing.
That's right.
So clicks on search engine ads.
For sure.
It's a huge moneymaker. Billions and billions of dollars are still made every quarter by Google, but then they're spending that profit on these unproven areas. And some of their shareholders actually don't really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't really have the patience or wonder why Google is spending time thinking about, you know, home security or, you know, cars of the future. But why do you think they do it?
Well, I think any tech company needs to invest in the future because tech moves along quite quickly. And, you know, in 10 years, 20 years, what is popular now might not be so popular later.
It's true. And some of these bets pay off, right?
For sure.
There was a computer company named Apple who got laughed at when they said they were going to make a phone. And it turned out okay.
It sure did.
The iPhone is by far the number one selling phone in the world. And, yeah, so some of these bets certainly do pay off. What's the title of our article, Brian?
Bringing driverless cars up to speed.
There's a good idiom there, right?
That's right, to bring something up to speed, to get it to a level of performance that is desired.
Mm-hmm. You can bring a person up to speed, maybe if they've recently joined your company, right?
Right, or even just walked into a meeting and kind of missed the first part of that meeting, so you bring them up to speed.
In this case, it's kind of a play on words, because the driverless car in this case also needs to achieve a minimum speed, and we're going to talk about how sometimes it goes a little slower than you might want it to. But it's this area, I'm sure you've heard about it, I think we've talked about it in advance, of robotic cars, and there's actually three terms that are used to talk about these types of cars, and I'm seeing them across the press almost interchangeably. Do you know what they are?
One is autonomous.
Autonomous, yep. That's one of our vocab focus words. And then the other two being driverless, which is in our title. And then the third one is in our deck, Ellen. Self-driving.
Okay.
Yeah, so these are three adjectives for basically the same thing.
Maybe they'll agree someday?
I know. Possibly. I think it's a little confusing if you're reading this in all different areas of the press, whether it's automotive news or tech news or just societal news, but these all do mean the same thing. But I've heard the term, I've actually talked to someone at Google, they don't like the term driverless. Can you guess why?
Because it focuses more on the car?
No, it just sounds scary. It sounds like no one's driving.
That is true.
Self-driving, okay, the self, in this case, is a robot. And autonomous, what does the word autonomy mean?
Well, often we hear auto, meaning something that is mechanical. So autonomous would mean that it's mechanical in nature, and it kind of does it on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're in your life, you know, my kids would like some autonomy. They would like to do things on their own. I tell them, you will, someday soon.
A few more years.
Right. But in this case, the car is doing things independently of the driver. So that's what we'll talk about, the progress made by Google. And our deck says learning to deal with the bizarre is essential. What do you think that could refer to?
It might refer to things that are just unplanned, weird, out of the ordinary.
Right, which definitely happens on the roads of any city, right?
Absolutely, especially busy cities. You will definitely encounter some very bizarre situations.
And how do you train your vehicle for taxi driver that cuts you off at high speed, or a person running out into the middle of the street to stop a child? Those are situations that could prove challenging to a self-driving car.
And a programmer. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Well, let's get into our lesson. Whether you're a car aficionado or not, I think you'll enjoy our discussion. We are on page 16, and we'll start our reading at the top.
Bringing driverless cars up to speed. For Google's self-driving cars, learning to deal with the bizarre is essential. In 700,000 miles of navigating roads, Google's self-driving cars have encountered just about everything, including an elderly woman in a motorized wheelchair flailing a broom at a duck she was chasing around the street. Apparently perplexed and taking no chances, the vehicle stopped and refused to go farther. Through extensive testing covering nearly every street in Mountain View, California, the company's 20 or so autonomous vehicles have developed a sense of caution. But Google researchers concede it will take more experience on the roads before the autos can learn to cope with every situation without becoming bewildered and shutting down, stranding passengers. When that happens now, researchers have to take the wheel and step on the gas.
Thank you, Lois. So we begin our article learning about Google's efforts in this area, Brian, and they're not new to this game, right?
They've been doing it, I guess, at least a decade or so, right?
Mm-hmm. And they've traveled quite a distance.
Yeah, 700,000 miles of navigating roads. That must be around the world how many times? Several.
Quite a bit. What does it mean to navigate something?
Navigate means to kind of try to go through, get through a road, or to get through kind of an area. So mm-hmm. you try to navigate traffic, so you kind of weave yourself in and out of traffic to get through it.
And that's going to be kind of a theme we talk about this week, right, Ellen?
Right.
To navigate something, you need to know what's ahead.
Right, right. So sometimes we also use the word to navigate, so to kind of make plans or come up with a game plan on how you're going to get from A to B. So we use that as a different verb.
And Google has been creating maps of things around us for years now. And they do have a good sense of how to get around.
Right. I mean, one of the things that Google's best known for, or most well known for, is its Google Maps program. And they definitely have a better idea than most companies on how to deal with cars and getting this information.
Our audience is probably familiar with 3D maps and Google Street View, right?
Sure.
It's pretty extensive.
It's pretty worldwide.
Yeah. And they've sent cars out equipped with cameras to basically map, to track, to capture the live footage of almost every major street in the world, in the developed world. It's pretty incredible.
It is. I use it almost every time I'm looking for an address, actually. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you like the street view?
I do like the street view, yeah.
Yeah, so you can see, you know, what that building looks like.
Yeah, it's usually within a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like to look at my home in America on street view. And
I've done that a couple of times. It's a little bit on the creepy side sometimes when you look at it. You're like, oh, I know exactly what period of time that was from.
Right.
Like, oh, we don't have that car anymore. Or, oh, that tree's not there anymore.
They try to keep people out of those pictures.
Right.
But there are, you're right, other landmarks that are noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So Google self-driving cars, it says, have encountered just about everything. So in all these miles of roads that these robotic cars have been cruising around, mostly around the Google headquarters, they've come across some strange things. And what's one example, Brian?
An elderly woman driving around in a motorized wheelchair doing something with a broom aimed at a duck.
Wow. That is not something you would expect to see. First of all, it's a motorized wheelchair.
Right.
Is it a self-driving wheelchair?
It's not self-driving, but it does have wheels that are controlled by, you know, I guess a computer.
Sure. And she's got a little joystick maybe next to one of the armrests.
Yeah, and sometimes those wheelchairs can move pretty fast, almost, I don't know, 20 miles an hour or something. Yeah.
I recently saw a gentleman, you know, crossing the street with the scooters with his motorized wheelchair, and I was like, oh. That's one way to do it.
Sure, sure. Well, she was flailing her broom. Flailing means to almost swing it wildly, right?
Yeah, she must have been trying to hit it or get it out of the way.
Yeah, it was a duck. Unbelievable. I don't think, Google would have been programmed to know that when you see a lady chasing a duck, you need to turn right or turn left or avoid the woman on the duck. Well, it said apparently perplexed. So the computer inside the Google car was confused. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. I'm not sure I would know what to do either,
right.
Other than slow down.
It took no chances, stopped, and refused to go farther. And that's something I've read that the Google car will do when it doesn't know what, you know, it can't identify the situation it's come across, it'll just stop. Does that sound safe?
That doesn't sound super safe, you know, if you are in traffic that needs to keep moving. You know, having a car suddenly shut down and not go any further could become actually even more dangerous hazard.
Yeah.
Although it sounds better than hitting the gas when you're not sure what to do.
Sure.
That's true.
But I think, you know, weaving around objects or pulling over to the side, that is something I'm not sure it's ready to do just yet.
Mm-hmm.
How about that phrase, take no chances?
Well, take no chances is, you know, it's pretty directly translated, I guess. You're just not going to, you know, take the opportunity or
you're on the safe side,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You're going to be extremely cautious,
right,
in that situation. We're going to take no chances and reduce our risk as much as possible. Well, where has been most of the testing of the Google car happened, Brian?
It's happened near Google's headquarters in Mountain View, California.
And it's a pretty good-sized fleet, right?
20 or so of these autonomous vehicles, and they have developed a sense of caution.
Mm-hmm. They're mostly partnered up with Lexus. A lot of different varieties of Lexus vehicles, which is Toyota's luxury nameplate. Some of them I've seen have steering wheels and some don't.
Wow.
That is kind of creepy looking. That's kind of what I referred to in the opening. Look, Ma, no hands.
Yeah.
Refers to riding your bike without any hands, right?
Right.
Showing off to your mom.
That really puts the emphasis on the computer.
Yeah. There's nowhere to reach. Well, that's where we first used the word autonomous in the lesson there at line 11. But it says, Google researchers concede it'll take a lot more time and experience. Right, Ellen?
Right. So they admit that it's going to take a lot more time than, you know, next week or next year. It'll take probably another 5, 10, maybe 20 years.
I wonder if we'll see this in our lifetime, Brian.
I'm sure your children will.
I think so. Until they can cope with every situation. What does it mean to cope?
To be able to handle it and maybe in this case to be able to make a solid decision.
Mm-hmm. Without becoming bewildered and shutting down. That wouldn't be good. If
no.
It suddenly started flashing yellow and just refused to go any farther. You might get stranded that way.
Right. If you're taking this vehicle, you don't want to be just stuck on some highway when it just stops and doesn't want to go any further.
Well, if that does happen, if anything out of the ordinary happens, researchers must step in, right?
That's right. They have to take the wheel, which is a fun way of saying they have to take control of the vehicle with those older models that do have the wheels, like you said.
And I read there's a series of lights on the dashboard that indicate to the researchers that, you know, either caution is approaching or the red lights, of course, mean take control immediately. And that's in part of the safety process. So we'll ask Lois to continue our lesson. We'll read at line 20.
Making the cars more human. One of the most surprising lessons, while hoping to make cars that are safer than those driven by people, Google has discovered its smart machines need to act a little human, especially when dealing with pushy motorists. We found that we actually need to be not aggressive but assertive with the vehicles, said Nathaniel Fairfield, technical leader of a team that writes software fixes for problems uncovered during the driving tests. If you're always yielding and conservative, basically everybody will just stomp on you all day. As a result, he said, Google's cars on freeways tend to leave a shorter distance between themselves and the vehicles they follow than some driver training manuals recommend. To discourage other motorists from darting dangerously into the space. And when it's their turn to proceed at a four-way stop, Fairfield added, Google's cars will inch forward decisively so other drivers don't try to beat them through the intersection. On a half-hour ride to see what the cars have learned, the vehicle carefully cruised through intersections, negotiated construction zones, skirted bicyclists, and maneuvered past other motorists without leaving a scratch.
So if you've just joined us, we're talking about cars of the future, Google's efforts to create self-driving vehicles. And we're in the second half of this first lesson. We're still in column one. And the title of this column, this section says, Making the Cars More Human. What does that mean?
Well, obviously cars are computers or mechanical objects, so they need to have more human characteristics.
Make it sense danger more, make it more sensitive, I think, to other drivers. And one of the lessons the researchers have learned, that while hoping to make them safer, they've discovered they need to be more human.
That's right, especially when dealing with pushy motorists. So they need to have more of a repertoire of how to deal, how to be flexible in these situations, how to be assertive without being aggressive. And that's a fine line.
When someone's pushy, they're trying to get their way.
Right. So, obviously you see the word push there, and it's kind of to this physical, action of actually moving people forward. So, yeah. So pushy motorists are people who kind of just weave in and out, cut you off.
Yeah. Keep honking the horn.
Is that you, Brian?
Not often. But if I get behind something like the Google car that just stops in the middle of the road, I might hit the horn a few times.
And there's a couple visions of the future here, right? There's one where it's all Google cars, right? Where none of us are driving anymore. And then you can see how they could maneuver through things, in a more efficient way. But that's probably really far off in the future, don't you think?
I think so. They'd have to get everybody to kind of agree to that in a sense.
And yeah. I don't think Detroit is really going to stand for that.
I doubt it.
Where the car makers are headquartered. You know, driving is an American rite of passage. That idea of the open road and, you know, high speeds and off-road vehicles. Do you think they'll really give that up easily?
I don't think so. I think I know several people who love driving. Like, it's something that helps to relieve stress for them. So I don't see them caring to purchase one of these vehicles.
I agree. I think it's going to be a century before at least Americans will give up driving.
Yeah, to become a passenger in your own car instead of in control, that would be a big change.
Well, as Brian said, it's got to learn to be assertive, to sort of step in and take charge a little bit out there. Because if they don't, what does it say will happen?
It says if you're always too nice, if you're always yielding and conservative, somebody will just stomp on you all day long. And I immediately thought of my life commuting in Chicago for 5 years.
Did you get stomped on every day by the traffic?
I really did, yeah. Some of those interstates or freeways are really, really mean places.
Yeah, I'm sure our friends in Asia have experienced aggressive drivers, sure, and that commute to work hopefully isn't too stressful for you. But it can kind of grind on you.
Yeah, I mean, 1 or 2 days a week is okay, but I think when you're doing it 5, 6 days a week, it can get very tiring.
It says, as a result, Google's cars actually leave a little short distance between itself and the other car. That would break, it says, the driver training manuals.
Yeah, I think that shows some development by Google, because that's probably what they need to do to fit into the flow better.
So it's not following, you know, two car lengths behind the car in front of you, like Brian and I learned in driver's training.
That's right.
Who does that, right? Like, come on, I want to get to where I'm going. But you also don't want to drive too close. What's that called? Tailgating?
That's right.
That's not a very nice thing to do. So I don't think the Google car is tailgating, but if it doesn't get some closer distance between the car in front of it, what'll happen, Ellen?
Well, other cars will dart dangerously into the space.
To dart into some things. That's a good phrase.
Right. It means to go very quickly, and sometimes we refer to this as being cut off.
Not fun. But when it's their turn to proceed, it says at something like a four-way stop, it will be very cautious.
Yes, this is interesting. It will be cautious, but it will still inch forward decisively. Because at the four-way stops, if you don't, other people will just cut in front of you.
And it's happened to all of us, right?
All of us.
Sit there, and that guy who just guns it ahead of you, and then someone else goes, and you're saying, man, am I going to be here all day? Trying to get through this four-way intersection? Well, on a half-hour ride, it says, to see what the cars have learned, the vehicle carefully cruised through intersections, negotiated construction zones. Wow, it sounds like a pro, doesn't it?
Really does.
Even skirted bicyclists. What's it mean to skirt something?
To skirt means to kind of just barely pass by something.
So our author of our article is actually riding in with one of these researchers. In this case, it's Nathaniel Fairfield. We skipped his name. He's the technical leader of the team that writes software fixes for these cars. So lots of people are a part of the Google Car program. Some of them engineers, some of them, like Nathaniel, riding around with the car.
Yeah.
Sound like a fun job?
It does. To a certain extent, I hope they have car stereos in Google Car.
Well, I hope they program in some, you know, brakes.
Yeah, right.
Well, forget stereos. You could have Xboxes in there.
That's true.
If you're not driving, you could make it a whole entertainment system.
Run YouTube through the speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe get lots of work done, too.
That's true.
A lot of people are thinking about productivity that could benefit from reducing drivers in the commute. Tomorrow we're going to talk about some of the safety aspects. Certainly, by taking the wheel out of our hands, things like accidents will be reduced, right?
For sure.
But other ways, what are some other benefits you think of Google of driverless cars?
Well, you don't have, you know, people getting super tired as they drive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely one.
Also, environmentally, it's going to be a big benefit because a lot of drivers drive poorly and cause more emissions to be released from a car than there needs to be.
That's right, and computers can solve that.
Yeah, so we're going to have greener vehicles as well. Well, we're going to talk more about the benefits and maybe some of the drawbacks or problems facing the driverless vehicle on our lesson tomorrow. So hopefully you'll come back for day two of bringing driverless cars up to speed. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.